So, but we will be going our time to hear and respond to a message from God's Word just here in a moment. And our take seven is going to be more like a take 45 this afternoon over a great meal that many of you have poured your hearts into preparing. And so I'm going to do my best today to practice those five B's of preaching. The be brief, brother, be brief. But I can't promise anything because today I'm going to talk about something I'm very passionate about, and that is our vision. Particularly, it is Vision Sunday. And we're going to be spending some time today in Hebrews chapter 12, in the first three verses of chapter 12. So chapter 12, 1 through 3, if you'd like to turn your Bibles there, or scroll there in your Bible, on your phone, however it is, we'll be spending most of our time there today. We'll be jumping around a little bit as we talk about this thing called vision. First and foremost, I want to thank all of you who've asked me a lot of questions in the past couple of weeks. Thank you, because you have inspired me through the Holy Spirit, because you've asked me some great questions like, what is Vision Sunday? What are we doing exactly? And it wasn't just about the potluck. Some of you asked me about the potluck. I mean, Lucas, he was always asking, like, what are we having? What are we having? I'm like, I don't know what we're having. He wanted to make tacos, but I did. I said no, and you're welcome, church family, you're welcome. But you've given me great inspiration because it showed that you had a deep interest, because they weren't critical questions. They were questions of, this is really starting to pique our interest, and this is the third year that we've done this thing that we call Vision Sunday. It is the third year where we've talked about exactly this. Who we are, where we're going, what we're doing, and why. Why? And that is what Vision Sunday is all about, as the slide says. This is what we do. We continue to strive for a deeper and clearer understanding of these critical questions about who God has made us to be as the Church of God of Exeter. Questions, once again, like who we are, what we are doing, where we are going, and that ever most important question that every child asks their parents when they answer a question, why? Can't tell you how many times I've heard that question. Why? Because of this. Why? Because of that. Well, why? 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 It's an important question, though. It's important for us to understand the why, because it's an understanding of the why that gives us the motivation to the rest. Vision Sunday is a Sunday that we seek a deeper answer to those critical questions of who we are and where we're going, to know the answers. It is a Sunday when we seek the answers to these questions more deeply than before, and we take the time to wrestle with who God has created us as a gathering of His people and with our calling as part of His church, part of His body that knows no geographical boundary, no country border, ethnicity, or language barrier, and human-made differences, but has been united as one in Christ Jesus globally. Because we are just a part, a small part of a greater body. And what does that look like? What does that mean for us to be part of that? What is our role as a part of that? And it's also for us to learn how to lean into. In this, Vision Sunday is a Sunday, a week to deepen our understanding of the answers to the questions of what we're doing and why we're doing it. As we will be also spending time discussing today how exactly we are going to live out who we have been made to be, where we are going, and how we are going to get there, by what we are going to do over the course of this year and the years to come even. Vision Sunday is a yearly Sunday we have set aside to lean into further discovering just that. Because it is critical to know the answers to these questions, that we know our function, our purpose, and our goal, because it is in this knowing that we collectively as one can strive together as one in Jesus to achieve His purposes for us, seeing the breakthrough of heaven on earth and His will being done, His kingdom come in us, through us, by Him and through Him, by His leading and His power. Vision Sunday is also a Sunday when we will talk about our vision statement as a church, which we do have one, and it's important for us to have. And if we consider this our church home, it's important for us to know what that is. It's important for us to know that we exist, that we're striving towards something, that we're moving somewhere. We're moving towards something, not just something, but someone. But there is a destination. There are many destinations on the way to that someone. And we're going to talk about that ultimate destination here in just a moment. But right now, the next destination on our road trip that we are on as a family of families is to be the forerunners of the transformation of our community through the gospel of Jesus Christ, one disciple at a time. To be the forerunners of the transformation. To be the engagers of that transformation, to dare to be bold, to try to do things that are different, to just be open and willing to do something new, to break that new ground as we've been speaking about for several years now, that many of you have been doing by using just what's in your hand, being willing to be used by God, however it is that God would use you to be those forerunners of the transformation through the gospel of Jesus Christ in our community. One disciple at a time, understanding, as I've said many times, we will grow at the speed of relationship because we are a relational faith, not a transactional faith. This is the future destination we are boldly marching onwards towards through the very means of our mission. If the vision is the destination, the mission is the vehicle which we will arrive there, that we have summarized in the Great Commission as to know Christ and to make him known. Our mission, to know Christ and to make him known. Something that is fueled by our innermost desire and core identifying purposes given to us by God. Our highest values as a gathering within the greater body of Christ, part of his holy church, that is to be in community, on mission, and with Jesus. The core essence of what it means to be the church, which we will discuss more here in a moment. However, this is all bit in part and becomes the filter, or as I would like to call, a missional funnel or filter through which we will funnel and filter everything, asking the questions, does this help us accomplish these things? Does this fall in line with our values? Does it further our mission? Does it move that vehicle further to the destination? And in this, does it get us closer to our vision? Because ultimately, is it getting us closer to the greater vision that we and every other believer in this world is striving after? Because there is a core unifying destination that we have been given by Jesus, that had been given to the worldwide movement of Jesus. Emmanuel, God with us, the Messiah, our Savior. There is one vision and one vision only. One vision that is perfectly captured for us in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, where the author writes, "Therefore, since we have been surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God, considering him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted." Showing us, as we will examine further today, the vision is Jesus. Obsessively, undeniably, dangerously Jesus. Always, for all time, no matter what, Jesus. Because he is the one who has gathered us here. He is the one who has commissioned us. And he is the one who we longingly wait in anticipation for. He is the subject. He is the center. Jesus is the vision, and there is no other. Jesus is the reason we exist, because Jesus makes all the difference. The vision is the Jesus, obsessively, undeniably, dangerously Jesus. And as part of the church, the body of Christ, a gathering of God's people and body here on earth as it is in heaven, his bride, this must always be the case, leading us to who we are, who we are supposed to be and always should be. We are Jesus' people, seeking to live in the way of Jesus, reclaiming all that hell has stolen in the name of Jesus, as Jesus is the subject, because Jesus is the vision, because we are His church. Something our passage makes clear to us today in Hebrews 12, and something our passage demands us we wrestle with, and a question it forces us to ask, whom are our eyes upon? Everything we do as part of the body of Christ, as His hands and feet, His image bearers, and part of His church should be to orient ourselves and others along with us to keep our eyes upon Him, because Jesus is the vision, which is why our mission, the vehicle of which to get us to the vision, is to know Christ and to make Him known. Whom are your eyes upon then? This is why the missional funnel, which we already described, and which includes our mission, our vision, and values, is all Jesus-oriented, because Jesus is the one we want to fix our eyes upon. And we want others to fix their eyes upon as well, because where our eyes are fixed is where we will head. Where our eyes are fixed is where we will aim. And I dearly pray we would all be running towards Jesus. This is where we're going. And it's where we should be going as a church, because if we are truly Jesus' people seeking to live in the way of Jesus, reclaiming all hell has stolen in the name of Jesus, as Jesus is the subject, because Jesus is the vision, because we are His church, in this we are to be in reckless pursuit of His way, truth, and life, leading us further from this world and closer to Him. Further from the world, closer to Him. This is what I love about what the author writes here in Hebrews chapter 12, especially in verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. It is so critical we understand and maintain this single bearing as a church, because to do otherwise would lose sight of the prize and potentially fail to finish the race or be disqualified. Because when in a race, there are many things which weigh you down and make you think you want to quit when you really do not. I speak from a history of being a competitive runner. And I love these metaphors in the Bible, how they always compare the faith to a race, because I was a competitive runner. And this metaphor chosen here of finishing a race, given in its context, was chosen very carefully. Because what comes right before verse 1 of chapter 12? What happens right before this is chapter 11. And does anybody know that famed chapter of the Bible, what it's known as? The faith what? The Faith Hall of Fame, or Hall of Faith, whatever you want to call it. It is the Faith Hall of Fame. And the author is careful, goes through the entire Old Testament, naming names of people who lived and ran that race faithfully, talking about how they lived by faith, acted by faith, how they kept their vision and focused on the prize, and how they finished the race. All these wonderful men and women of faith who had ran their race to completion. And what he says now is they're cheering everyone on as they run theirs. If you haven't taken time ever to read through chapter 11, I really encourage you to do so. But don't just read it this week. Take some time, read the little one-verse blurb on the individual, and then find that person in the Bible, and then read their history. Read their story. Read about what God does in their life and in and through their faith. And reflect upon it. And take time processing each individual and see how God works in each individual's life and each individual's faith. And then gets us to that beautiful first verse of Hebrews. Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. We're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Understanding that this uplifts us and encourages us and affirms what the Word writes. Like in places like 1 Peter 5, 9 through 10, to resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. I find comfort in that. knowing that I'm not alone and that there's others that have gone through it before me. There's others that are going through it with me. And there are others that I'm going to be able to come alongside afterwards and help go through it after me. Because, and after you have suffered a little while, this is the glory of this all, is that the grace of all, God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Affirming what the author of Hebrews writes here in verse 3, consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. Once again, being a former competitor runner myself, let me tell you, there are many races where my body screamed at me. I mean, it was loud enough where I heard it internally. Stop! For the love that's all that is holy, what are you doing to yourself? Stop! I always say that running is a 95% mental game, 5% physical sport. Because you got to convince yourself to keep running. You got to convince yourself to keep going, to keep on fighting, to keep on struggling, especially in cross country. After a certain distance, oxygen deprivation starts kicking in. Your chest is tight. There's pain because you're barely breathing. Your oxygen, your O2 levels are dropping. Your muscles are cramping. You're getting tired. Even sometimes you might get a little dizzy swell here and there, but you can see the finish line in the distance, and you know you just got to keep on pushing. They call it a distance race. No, it's a distance sprint because you are in a sprint for the most part of it. And your body's yelling at you, quit, quit, give up. And that's that sin that clings so tightly to us in this life. It's trying to get us to quit. It's trying to get us to stop. Our flesh wants us to stop because it doesn't want to be transformed. It doesn't want to be renewed. It doesn't want to be made new again. It doesn't want to be eradicated by the glorious light of God. The darkness in us doesn't want to go anywhere. And it knows if we keep pursuing after Jesus, it has to go. Because the darkness cannot withstand the light. This passage reminds me of when I actually qualified for the national championship. Granted, it was the National Christian College Athletic Association, Division I. So a little bit different, a little lower of a standard, but I actually qualified for the national meet in 2005. It was the year before I met Jeanette. It was located in Cedarville, Ohio. And I actually placed 66th in the nation. And I remember that race very well because the last half mile was pretty much uphill. And the last half mile was uphill, and it was a tunnel of people. People all around shouting, cheering you on. And these people were coaches, whether they were on your team or not on your team. They were coaches. They were teammates. They were former runners. They were people who had already finished and had sort of recovered, and they looked half dead, but they were cheering people on to keep on going from opposing teams. Family members, friends, and so many more along the way on this uphill trek to the finish line, encouraging everyone not to give up, helping us keep our eyes forward on the prize. When those nagging chest pains, muscle cramps, and slight faintnesses were coming along and telling us, just quit, just fall down and cry, it's okay, you did your best. We were surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. There was no giving up at that point. And church, that is what we are. We are a great cloud of witnesses. There is a great cloud of witnesses right here in this room. There is a great cloud of witnesses that have come before us, and we get to be that great cloud of witnesses for another generation that comes after us. And we just have to keep our eyes fixed on the prize. And the prize is Jesus, because the vision is Jesus, which is what the author of Hebrews addresses here in verse 2. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. In other words, what the author of Hebrews is saying, he went to the cross, but it was worth it. Whatever you're dealing with today, striving for that finish, striving for Jesus, whatever suffering you are facing today, know that in eternity's eyes, it's going to be worth it. It may not feel worth it in the moment right here, right now, in this present day, but in the day to come, in the age to come, it will be worth it as long as you keep your eyes fixed upon the prize, the vision, which is why we are to be spurring one another on to love and good works always, as Hebrews 10:24 would say, and encourage us to continue to keep our eyes fixed upon Jesus, because the vision is Jesus. Obsessively, undeniably, dangerously, Jesus. Who are your eyes upon? When everything in your heart cries out to you to give up, to quit, whom are your eyes turning to? Consider him, verse 3 says, who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. Look at the author and perfecter of your faith. Don't give up. Don't give in. Consider him. Consider Jesus. Consider the reward. Understanding what Paul writes from the passage that we spent most of the Advent season studying this last year from Galatians 6:9. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. Let us not grow weary indeed, because in due season we will reap the harvest that God has been cultivating right here in Exeter, in and through the labor. And we should pray, as Jesus says, for those laborers are few. And we should not just pray that he would send more and more laborers. Yes, we need to pray for that. But we should also pray that he would strengthen and equip us to be those laborers, because he has brought us here to do just that. Which brings us to what we are doing, which is where we're going to be spending a lot of time today discussing. Because we've discussed who we are. We are Jesus people seeking to live in the way of Jesus, reclaiming all that hell has stolen in the name of Jesus, as Jesus is the subject, because Jesus is the vision, because we are his church. We have discussed where we are going. In this, we are to be in reckless pursuit of his way, truth, and life, leading us further from this world and closer to him, bringing us to what we are doing. We are going to be his church, the church gathering that he has called us to be right here and right now in our time and place, living for him, through him, and by him, living out our mission to know Christ and to make him known, being fueled by our values to be in community, on mission, and with Jesus, so that we would arrive as a family of families to the next destination, our present vision, on the way to our ultimate destination, our ultimate vision of Jesus, to be the forerunners of the transformation of our community through the gospel of Jesus Christ, one disciple at a time. Meaning we're simply going to be the church. That's what we're going to do. We're going to be the church. We are going to be his church, the church gathering he has called us to be right here, right now, in our time and place, living for him, through him, and by him. Doing what we have been doing as we continue this year of 2026 to build off of everything we've built up to. Continuing to lean more and more into our identity as part of God's church, part of the greater body of Christ and work of Christ right here in Exeter, but also throughout the world. As our mission, like our worldwide family of God, knows no geographical boundaries. It knows no cultural or country borders. It knows no difference in ethnicity or language barrier or human-made difference. Understanding what makes the church is not our buildings, it's not our bylaws, it's not our structures or policies, it's not Robert's rules of orders. I so often lament how quickly we are to quote such things when we refer to the church rather than the scriptures. Because the Bible gives us a whole different set of guidelines when the Bible and the Word talks about what the church is and what it means to be the church. I have found, as many others have in scriptures, there are three core things, three definitive aspects that make any gathering of people a gathering of God's people, that makes that gathering a gathering of God's church. There can be other things. There could be more than these three things, but without these three core things, it's not the church. It's these three core things that identify it as a church, part of his body, part of the bride of Christ. And it was none of the things I formally just mentioned just there in a moment. It comes down to what is called an ecclesial minimum: community, worship, and mission. All centered and founded upon Jesus. All centered, founded upon, and for Jesus. This is what it takes. And there could be more than that, but there cannot be any less than that. It takes all three of these things, and the scriptures show us this. Even in that, the classic passage we normally turn to figure out what is the church exactly, the beloved passage, Acts chapter 2. But other places in the scripture, passages like Matthew 18:20, where it says, "For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them." Community. John 4:21 through 23, Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him." Worship. In Matthew 28:18-20, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Community, mission, worship. That is what makes a church the church. And these are just three verses. That is the whole New Testament. That is what we see continually being pulled out to identify a body of believers, a gathering of believers to be the church. These three core aspects, the blending of them and the offshoots of them here and there we see, but they're always there. These three core aspects, a commitment with each other in community that's lived out in mission for Jesus, that worships Jesus together. That's the church, period. Something seen in the very soul of our gathering of God's church and our core values as we are in community. Something we will continue to do this year through our regular weekly gatherings and our wonderful potlucks. I got a rumbly in my tummy. Our small group meetings, our men's and women's events, our youth gatherings, our family movie nights, game nights, and just fellowship nights where we have fun with one another. You know, part of being the church is having fun. And isn't that a wonderful thing? You know, the world thinks that we're all a bunch of buzzkills, but we're not. We actually have fun together. In fact, I am hoping this year we get those family barbecues coming back this year, the summer barbecues. Oh, gotta get those going again. The continuation and expansion of our baking and blessing ministry. I know that Miss Kelly is wanting to start some baking nights where we can all get together and share recipes and bake snacks for our Take 7 time on Sunday morning. It's going to be a wonderful time. We're going to be continuing to do these things as a family of families and so much more. In fact, talking about being in the community, I think I saw a thing on the Join the Mission wall that John Pease put up about a walking group. Hiking club. Yeah, just something that simple. You know, John loves hiking and he wants to find other people to hike with him. He wants to be in community with his brothers and sisters to hike with him. And I'm sorry to call you out like that, John. I know you weren't expecting that, but I think it's awesome because that's what it takes. I know that a couple years ago, some ladies got together and said, you know, we like sewing, and they started sewing things for OCC, the Operation Christmas Child. And they're in community like that. And we're going to continue to support and care for one another through our benevolent services and love ministries, providing meal trains and other acts of love and benevolence in our times of need, interceding and praying for one another intentionally as part of who we are as a community together in Christ, expanding our horizons of community alongside the Extraministerial Association, understanding that we're a small gathering amongst many other small gatherings, that we're just a part. We're just a piece. And when we put all the pieces together, that we find a beautiful thing come together. And so we're going to continue in our fifth Sunday gatherings, our Holy Week celebrations, and our communal worship opportunities we have with the Extraministerial Association. This and so much more happening in 2026 and beyond to lean into our identity as a family of families, God's family. And we're going to do this on mission. as we are in community on mission. We are going to continue to be on mission and continually to eagerly work to know him more and more as a family and family so that we can make him known all the more. Continuing to work alongside one another with how God has empowered us to be used right here and now in our own community, using what God has placed in our hands, like our growing bread ministry, which this year alone, once again, has already handed out 174 trays of bread. That's approximately 1,740 loaves of bread, an estimated value of $7,000 of bread that's been given to us freely to bless our community with. God just threw that in our lap. And it's what's in our hands. And so we've been able to use what's in our hands just to bless others, continuing to live, lean into and live and build in partnership that are forming with, like, Love in the Name of Christ, Care Portal, the Extra Ministerial Association, continuing to work alongside our brothers and sisters to maximize the impact of these parachurch ministries through events like the Gobbler Giveaway, to develop new opportunities as God would leave us to serve others in the name of Jesus. To develop those new opportunities. To ask, what is God calling you to? What do you feel God leading you to serve our community? And how is it we can come alongside you? How is it we can come along and empower you and spur you on to those love and good deeds? Also, the continuation of other yearly activities we have done here locally, like our Harvest Festival, Art Camp, 9/11 Honor Serve and Pray Barbecue, and many, many more things that we want to do living out our mission locally as we also continue to take it through the state and nation, looking for other opportunities like we had in Pasadena this last year that the men's group had to go and serve the people of Pasadena, the Eaton Fire victims, serving alongside Pasadena Church, also working with organizations like Game Church, going to Visalia Comic-Con, and here in a couple of days, going right here locally to NerdLink, and sharing the gospel and the hope that there is to be found in Jesus, looking for more opportunities with our regional ministries and national ministries of how we can bless people here in our own nation, and then continuing to take our mission beyond those geographical boundaries, those country borders, those ethnicities, those language barriers, and human-made differences by working alongside our strategic partner in Honduras for over 20 years, Manantial de Vida and Pastor Freddy, with Ebed, the Hebrew word for servant, Servant of God Ministries in Honduras. Continuing our support of the Martinez family, sending a missions team this year. We are actually finally getting that missions team there this year. We want to thank everyone that supported our youth ministry and their fundraising. They are fully funded, and we are sending 16 to Honduras in July. Very exciting. It is happening. It was on its way. And we're going to be continuing the support of the Contra Kids program, continuing to work with Operation Christmas Child, the Sewing Club, and all kinds of things, partnering with the Kim family in support, prayer, and encouragement that we've been doing for many years now, and also seeking other opportunities with global strategies and national ministries and how we can know Christ and make him known, being everyday ministry missionaries for him, by him, and through him, here in Exeter, Tulare County, Central Valley, and to the ends of the earth. Doing this all alongside and with Jesus, in worship of Jesus, for Jesus, because we're going to continue to worship, family. Because if we don't worship, we're missing the mark. We're going to continue to live out our regular rhythm of life as of worship and study and word and singing of praises and praying, hosting and housing the Exeter Prayer House to continue to enhance and empower the life of prayer of believers throughout our community with rhythms, practices, and relationships, continuing to open spaces of awareness like we did in these recent weeks on human trafficking in our week of prayer against human trafficking, breaking new ground, providing new opportunities for communal worship and joint mission for our community in the name of Jesus, living out our vision to be the forerunners, not the backrunners, but the forerunners of the transformation of our community through the gospel of Jesus Christ, one disciple at a time. Also continuing to grow our home group and small group ministries and much more. Worship while doing all the things already mentioned as we live in community and on mission with Jesus. The fuel behind our mission to empower us in our purpose, giving us the momentum forward toward our vision, which once again is to be those forerunners of the transformation of our community through the gospel of Jesus Christ, one disciple at a time. Bringing us to the final question we must seek an answer to today on this Vision Sunday. Why? Which is a very simple answer. In light of all the others, who we are Jesus people seeking to live in the way of Jesus, reclaiming all hell has stolen in the name of Jesus, as Jesus is the subject, because Jesus is the vision, because we are his church. Where are we going? In this, we are going to be in reckless pursuit of his way, truth, and life, leading us further from this world and closer to him. Where are we doing? How are we going to do it? We are going to be his church, the church gathering he has called us to be right here, right now, in our time and place, living for him, through him, and by him. Why? Because Jesus is the subject. Jesus is the reason we exist, because Jesus makes all the difference. The vision is Jesus. Obsessively, undeniably, dangerously, Jesus. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, 115 years of them exactly, because this is our 115th anniversary in Exeter. Don't know if anyone knew that or not, but the Church of God of Exeter has been in Exeter for 115 years. We've been surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. As mentioned in our annual report last year, we spent 2025 digging into what God was doing. This year is a year of being the well of living waters that he has made us to be, pouring out the life of Jesus he has given us to give, being blessed to be a blessing, and living life with open hearts and open hands, using what God has placed in our hands as we continue to know him and make him known, so that we would be those forerunners of the transformation of our community through the gospel of Jesus Christ, one disciple at a time, as we continue to be part of his church by being in community, on mission, and with Jesus. As our 2025, as a family video recap, will show you. How is God inviting you to join our journey to the Vision Jesus in the year of 2026? This is the word of the Lord. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of the Lord remains forever. Amen.